Welcome to Four Quarter Friday, part of the Chief Sports Network. Talking South Carolina high school sports every Friday morning and proudly presented by the South Carolina Athletic Coaches Association. With weekly appearances from coaches, players, and media around the state. Let's go! Off the first quarter. Happy Friday.
Where we have big news to discuss. Coaches continuing to take jobs, leave jobs across the Palmetto State. Milestones reached on the diamond. New recruiting offers on the gridiron. We will cover it all from the Grand Strand to the foothills, the Midlands to Football City, USA. And we have a new voice and face helping us get it done. I am Matt Smith, an old face. That is Rob Williams. You may know Rob from SEC Sunday Night, where he takes essentially buckshot across SEC country and covers it all and brings it back to us here in the Palmetto State. Now he gets to use a microscope and really dig into all the things that are happening inside of our state, a state that we love. That is what we do at the Chief Sports Network. Before we introduce Rob, I do want to say that you know that Steve Hall has been with this show from its outset. Steve will not be doing the show anymore. Obviously, he's a big part of it. He will always be a part of it. His DNA will always be a part of this. And I told Steve I'm going to miss him, and he knows it. But Steve is doing other things, shifted his attention elsewhere, and he knows certainly how I feel, and I appreciate that the time that we did this show together. But as we discussed, Steve and I discussed, the mission of the show doesn't change, and it's one that we continue to be excited about, and it is all about the players, programs, coaches, administrators, supporters, fans, families, in this state that bring high school football to us throughout the season, all the seasons. And Rob, I'm glad you're with us. I know you love college football. I know you love what you do in SEC Sunday Night, but you and I have been working on this show, you joining the show this week. And it turns out, man, you've got an itch to scratch with high school as well. You're like me. You have all of these stories, this reservoir of stories and things that get you excited about what happens on baseball fields, basketball courts, and football fields across the state.
No doubt about it. Thank you, Smitty, for that welcome introduction there. And I want to say a shout out to Steve as well, as he's did a great job in so many months here at Four Quarter Friday. I'm honored to have the opportunity to step into this role and excited about what's happening in the state. You mentioned my work on SEC Sunday Night and kind of taking that buckshot. It is a microscope now to drill in to what's happening within the state. But I feel like in some ways, Smitty, the buckshot of the SEC has prepared me for so many high schools that are desperate and need the coverage here in the state of South Carolina. Because you and I know, as you just mentioned, there are so many quality programs and teams, and there's not enough coverage to go around to highlight so many wonderful things happening across our great state. And so I'm excited to embrace that challenge and to shine light on the programs that we know about and maybe the programs that are just known about in their corner. And we want to put them on the pedestal for the whole state to know all the great things that are happening across the state.
And that's it. That's it. And that's what we'll do. So we want everybody, that if you love high school sports in South Carolina, this is your hub. You be with us. You follow us on X as well at Four Quarter SC, because what we're going to do is we're going to link you to all of the great writers and people that are involved in the programs across the state. We will help you. We will create a cyclone of information for you because we can't all get it done. And we love all of those writers, and we're going to continue to have them on. We've had so many on from Prep Red Zone and everywhere else, and we've loved the coaches. And today we are focusing on the coaches because our two guests today, Andy Hallett, head baseball coach for AC Flora, seven-time state champion, just picked up his 600th victory last week. So we said no better time than the present to have Andy Hallett on. We will also talk about the Forest Acres Classic, which is coming up next week. Both Rob and I are going to check it out. And just a little preview, Corey Welch from Diamond Prospects is going to be there as well, scouting players, scouting teams. We'll have Corey Welch join us on Four Quarter Friday next week to put his expert analysis and bring that to you. And also today, Rob, I'll let you tell everyone about our other guest, Leon Bulware from Rock Hill. Give us his background a little bit, because if you've got that Rock Hill pride, there's a little swagger to it, right?
Well, that is exactly the background that needs to be stated here. Coach Bulware has been successful in his career, but just finished up his first season back at his alma mater, where he was a part of two state championship teams nearly 25 years ago. And so bringing that back to Rock Hill is a big part of his vision. I talked to him earlier this week, Smitty, and was really impressed with the direction that he's taking that program. We know about the abundance of talent in Rock Hill, and as of late, it's no secret that that talent has won state championships at South Point and Northwestern. But Coach Bulware will be here to talk to us about how to restore Rock Hill to greatness as well at Rock Hill High School. I'm excited about what he's doing and what he's going to be able to tell us about here today. There's a lot happening, though, across the state in terms of football. It's weird, Smitty. Right now is a time when we're focused on baseball. Nationally, the Final Four is happening, and yep. So there's still a little bit of basketball residually swirling around in people's feeds right now. But here comes football, and it cannot be discounted, right? Because we know the love that people have for football, not only in this state, but across the Southeast and across the country. Football is king. But in South Carolina, high school football holds a special place in our hearts. And May 1st is right around the corner. We're under a month away from spring football at the high school ranks here. And we'll be excited to get some coverage of those things. You know, two of the top players in the state from the running back position, Trey Segarra and Aiden Gibson.
Yeah.
Segarra's at Burns, Gibson at Woodruff. Both kind of still feeling out this recruiting journey. I know that Gibson picked up another offer this week, an ACC school in Louisville. And Trey is doing an unofficial visit at Notre Dame. And so we'll kind of continue to see what's going on there. The cool thing about Segarra at Burns is that he's such a multi-sport athlete. And soccer is really, really where he found himself to begin with before his football career took off. He's also a pretty good wrestler. Smitty just kind of does it all. And so there's one more season for him to get it done on the soccer field before this football recruiting takes over and he gets out of Burns early to enroll somewhere. I'm looking forward to kind of seeing how those journeys develop with both of those guys, as it's been a little while since we've had two running backs mm-hmm. this high profile in the state. And the battle just continues to rage. You know, I'm hearing things behind the scenes about maybe where these guys are leaning in one direction or the other. But I think that it's still an opportunity for schools to come in and woo both of those players, or the schools that are already in the race.
Yes,
I should say.
That's right. We'll get to baseball in just a moment because we have Andy Hallett coming up. But just I want to give those names again, Rob, and you tell us a little bit what you know. So you mentioned, so Burns, let's start there. Trey Segarra. Who is, as you said, a soccer star. And I saw him, you know, photographed from GreerNews.com, like him in his soccer gear. I mean, he looks like a pro.
He does.
He looks like a pro. Like he's like, oh, he just got picked up by, you know, Milan to play in La Liga. He looks like what European soccer players look like from a physical standpoint, like a grown man, because he's like 6 foot, 6'1", 205. And he loves that sport. He's been playing that since he was three. But you just mentioned it. So I want to give the offers, and you tell us just a little bit about him. Then we'll get Aiden Gibson of Woodruff, but just a little bit if you could. So Segarra has been offered by the two big in-state schools, South Carolina and Clemson, but also Alabama, Georgia, Tennessee. Oh, and the defending national champion, Indiana, is in on Segarra. I think Penn State has recently offered as well. So what do you know about Cigar in terms of maybe how this race is being handicapped? Because he's a, as you said, a big star. He's, and by the way, he's going to enroll early. He's going to graduate early. So this is it for him in soccer. So he is soaking this up. He is a big-time soccer star, but he's soaking this up because of what's going to happen. So you just give us any info you've got on Trey Zegar quickly before we turn our attention to Aiden Gibson.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, he just visited Notre Dame. He's got a visit with Penn State coming up. And I do think that Tennessee got in on him early and first, and so that's one to watch out for. And then the in-state schools definitely have some pull in that as well, just because they're here, right? And they've been very active in this recruitment. It's been a who's who of coaches showing up at Burns High School to talk to Trey Zegar. You know, Reggie Shaw, head coach over there, has posted as we had the availability of coaches to come through and do recruiting, and just the picture after picture after picture of so many high profile programs and head coaches in that building. I do think that visit to Notre Dame is very interesting, Smitty, and something that maybe I would watch out for just a little bit. Looking forward to getting up there and talking to Trey here in the next couple of weeks to try to get his perspective a little bit firsthand on what those visits have looked like.
That's incredible. So also, Woodruff running back, Aiden Gibson. I love everything I have learned about Aiden Gibson. Every measurable you want out of a back, over 3,000 yards rushing of the last two seasons, about 1,600 last year, 7.9 yards per carry. And he's no secret. He's no secret there with the Wolverines. He's coming back for another year, but he's got South Carolina and Coastal Carolina in-state, and he's gotten offers, again, from Indiana, Florida, Florida State, Tennessee, Penn State, Georgia Tech. How do you see him? Because to me, when I look at Aiden Gibson, I don't see anything that you can pick on against him. In other words, there just doesn't seem to be any flaws. He looks like everything you want out of a running back, and Woodruff's going to get him back for another season.
Yeah, and I think that the little bit of a difference here in terms of how they've been used in high school is that at Burns, Cigar is surrounded by a cast of characters and a lot of highly recruited guys. You know, you got Chu Harris over there, you got Jacoby Fuller, who's his backfield mate, who's also highly recruited as a running back. So there's a little more room to spread it around. At Woodruff, Aiden Gibson is a lot more of the focus. You mentioned 7.9 yards per carry. He gets it a lot, and he also plays linebacker for the Wolverines. So this is a kid that kind of can do everything. He's got the level of athleticism and the build, like you said, to do damage at the high school level. And I think that he will need just a little more development when he gets to the Power Four level than Trey Zegar will. But I think that Aiden Gibson has all of the tools. And you talk about running back, Smitty. And when we look at the NFL and everything trickles down, right? When we look at the NFL, you're going to go get your bargain guy because you know that if he has the tools, you can get done what you need to get done. And I think that Aiden Gibson is going to do that for somebody at the college level. He's really going to be super productive after maybe coming in and developing in a college program for a year or so. So I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to both of those guys. And we have a lot. We have a lot to discuss as we see that continue.
Yeah, that's going to be fun. So look, I know those are both in the upstate, but two big stories right there coming out of Spartanburg County as the offers continue to roll in and the visits for those players. So this fall, those are players that we'll be talking about and previewing this summer here on Four Quarter Friday, and teams along with what those teams are going to accomplish. And there are worse places to enjoy Friday Night Lights than Woodruff and Burns coming up this fall. And you can see two college running backs up there in Spartanburg County. All right, we're going to turn our attention to the Midlands. Biggest story coming out of the Midlands is perhaps Richland Northeast football coach Walt Wilson stepping down. We don't have a lot of information about it, just that sentence right now. But we will continue to talk about that here. And you can follow us again at Four Quarter SC. Whatever we learn, you will know. But it's spring. It's baseball. Time now to talk to Andy Hallett, head baseball coach for AC Flora. 7 state championships, 600 victories, and he's got his hands full. He's got 8 really good clubs coming in for the Forest Acres Classic, and he loves competition. You'll hear him talk about that when we come back. Andy Hallett, head coach for AC Flora, joins us in our next segment. We still have Liam Boulware, Rock Hill football coach, ahead. You are watching Four Quarter Friday on the Chief Sports Network.
Check the statewide high school scoreboard every Friday night on the Chief Sports app.
If you have experienced any sort of damage to your home or business, smoke, water, fire, or mold, visit RestaProsMidlandsSC.com, proud supporters of South Carolina High School Athletics.
When playing sports, you want a coach that will fight for you. At Hewitt Diamandouros Law Firm, we've got your back. Whether it's personal injury, insurance disputes, negligence, or wrongful death, our team delivers exceptional legal services that makes meaningful difference in the lives of the individuals and families we work for. Visit hdlawsc.com. hdlawsc.com. Hewitt Diamandouros, we're on your team!
Palm Casual Outdoor Patio Furniture proudly supports high school athletics across South Carolina. If it's time to make your outdoor space the best it can be, with lifetime warranties and guarantees, visit one of our Palm Casual stores in Myrtle Beach, Bluffton, Somerville, or Mount Pleasant. PalmCasual.com. PalmCasual.com. Turn on the lights. It's Friday night.
Welcome back to Four Quarter Friday, part of the Chief Sports Network. Let's talk ball.
Welcome back to Four Quarter Friday. Matt Smith and Rob Williams are back with you. And as promised, we have Coach Andy Hallett joining us from AC Flora High School. Coach, this is a bit of a calm before the storm in terms of the Forest Acres Classic coming up. So we'll talk baseball, but then I'm sure you have a lot to do in terms of getting ready and having all of these teams visit. But we're so happy to have you on. Congratulations on the 600th victory you got earlier this season. And congratulations, you're having another big year and going to challenge for another state championship.
Well, thanks for having me. I'm really excited to be here. As the week winds down, getting ready for spring break, you know, we got a region game tonight that's obviously our number one priority. And then tomorrow morning we'll wake up and we'll shift gears and we'll get ready for the tournament. So very happy to be here and look forward to talking baseball.
Absolutely. Coach, let's talk baseball. I got to see your team when you went down to Georgetown. And what I've noticed about your schedule is this is not typical. I mean, you've got the Forest Acres Classic. You've got big-time teams rolling into your area. You took on all comers before your region schedule. So this must have been something. You've got seven state championships. You must know something about scheduling tough during the regular season, getting your team ready.
Yeah, I think ever since I've been here, you know, the whole goal is to put the hardest and most competitive schedule on that I can find, because the better competition you play, you're either going to rise or sink. So, you know, by scheduling the teams that I do and trying to build a schedule that's extremely competitive, you know, it tells you a lot about your team, whether it's early, mid-season, or late. You know, talent will get exposed to it, and it'll show you what you need to work on. So, for 28 years, I've always tried to schedule the absolute best teams I could get my hands on when it comes to non-conference tournaments and things that I can control.
Coach, you kind of teed me up for this next question. You mentioned 28 years, 1998, when you became the head coach there at AC Flora High School. What has changed for you in so much success over that time, seven state championships? What have you seen change in terms of the game or in terms of high school baseball over the course of such a storied career?
You know, it's probably a list of a whole nother show. but I would tell you probably the biggest change is just the access that kids have now to promote themselves and and how social media has impacted our game so much that, you know, 28 years ago, all recruiting went through a high school coach or a little travel ball. Now it's like we have to just stay up with our players to make sure they're posting the right things, they're saying the right stuff, and they're not hurting themselves, you know, with a recording that they think is funny, but it's not appropriate. And so just, I think the access that students have to their own recruitment and the ability to put themselves out there is obviously the biggest change that I've seen in 28 years.
Coach, tell us a little bit about your team this year. Specifically, I know you've got, you know, some guys that are being looked at by colleges. You already have one committed to the College of Charleston. And again, you're off to a great start, played some really competitive teams. You're undefeated in region play. So you're doing something right, and there must be some talent on this year's team too.
Yeah, we like our roster. You know, we had an extremely disappointing finish last year in the playoffs. We just didn't play well. We decided it was a time not to hit. So that kind of stung the way that season ended, because we felt like we had a pretty strong roster then. And now it's older. You know, we lost two players that were keys. You know, we finished last year in a disappointing note in the playoffs. We felt like we had a team that had a chance to actually go deep and challenge again for a title. And so, you know, we lost a pitcher to College of Charleston, a pitcher to Trinity, and an infielder to the Citadel. But we brought back seven starters with a couple arms to go with them. So we're old when it comes to high school baseball, and I think we play with a little bit of a chip based on how poorly we finished the season, that these young men have a point to prove that last year was an anomaly and not the norm. So I think we play with a little bit more sense of urgency than we did last year. We're extremely athletic. You know, we run really well. We can play defense, I think, with anybody in the state. And we try to pitch to our strengths, you know. So we're going to do what we do, and our kids have done a really good job. You know, we've played 13 games, played one poor game against Blythewood, but the other 12 games I've been really happy with how we've pitched, hit, run, you know, the big four that we've been able to accomplish. So really good roster, old, experienced, and I think with a little bit of a chip. So kind of a good combination.
So as we dig into the roster a little bit, Coach, you've spoken a lot about leadership over the course of your career. When you look at these guys, you mentioned that you're older. Are there a couple of names that we should really watch out for, especially next week going into tournament play? And then, you know, those who are listening or watching us are looking for some of those names to look out for, maybe if they're AC Flora fans, or maybe they're opposing fans who want to know who to look for. We want to highlight your guys here. So you tell us who we're looking for when we show up to watch the Falcons.
Yeah, if you look at our lineup card, you're going to see the first six names that are all seniors. They're guys that are kind of carrying the load a little bit more than what they did last year. They're all producing.
One more thing we want to hear about, Coach, is the Forest Acres Classic and what you know about the teams that you have invited. Because again, some big time names coming in, spending their spring break right there. And I know it's a tradition, and it's something that you've really grown. And we'd love to hear about the Classic and who you've invited and how everybody can get there. You know, it's middle of the state, how they can get there and take in some spring break baseball.
Yeah, we're really excited. This is our 21st year. The City Forest Acres got behind us, you know, that support our program and our tournament to allow us to have what we call the true invitational. So we're excited. So the teams that are coming over this year, I believe that in accumulation is probably the best group of eight teams that we've had in the tournament. We were able to tap T.C. Roberson and bring Eric and his club back down out of Asheville. Three-time 5A state champions out of North Carolina. Airport, 4A state champion last year. Dorman, who we played in the championship down at the Classic before Mother Nature showed up. Obviously, Jack's got a really strong club. And then, of course, Billy's coming back down with Miller School out of Virginia. So we're really excited. And then our first-timer ever would be Indian Land with Hal Bagwell. Give him a quick shout-out, too. Hal just won his 600th game last night.
That is incredible. He's joining the 600 win club with you. Yep. Coach, listen, we appreciate your time, and we're going to see you in person because both Rob and I are going to visit you at the Forest Acres Classic. So we'll see you down there. We'll see all those great teams, and congratulations on your success, and we'll have you back on soon.
Well, I appreciate you guys having me. I look forward to seeing you next week. And remember, One Falcon Drive right here in Columbia, middle of the state, $10 day passes for everyone that's over 11, and we love to see you at the park.
There you go. That's Coach Andy Hallett, 600 wins, seven-time state champion. We'll recap that when we come back. More Four Quarter Friday on the other side.
At Moultrie Insurance, our agents are working for you. Our commercial lines of coverage are well-sourced and intimately chosen. We offer commercial lines of coverage such as business owners, umbrella, property, auto, or general liability coverage, and evaluate every option to find what fits you best. Like a good offensive coordinator, we will draw up the plays, but only run with what you feel comfortable. Get in touch with our quarterback, Perry Orth, or our head coach, Frank, by visiting MoultrieIns.com. MoultrieIns.com.
Palm Casual Outdoor Patio Furniture proudly supports high school athletics across South Carolina. If it's time to make your outdoor space the best it can be, with lifetime warranties and guarantees, visit one of our Palm Casual stores in Myrtle Beach, Bluffton, Somerville, or Mount Pleasant. PalmCasual.com. PalmCasual.com. Turn on the lights. It's Friday night.
Chiefs Sports Network. Proudly covering high school athletics across the state of South Carolina with accurate, trusted analysis, in-depth interviews with coaches, media, and players, and quality information. Every Friday at 9 a.m., we're here for you. Proud partner of the South Carolina Athletic Coaches Association.
And on the, I guess, the week within 7 days that Coach Hallett picked up his 600th victory, I'm Matt Swift. That is Rob Williams. This is Four Quarter Friday. We still have Leon Boulware set to join us, Rock Hill High School football coach. And Rob, if we look at that Carolina Forest, I'm sorry, that Forest Acres Classic coming up and some of the big names that are coming. I love Coach Hallett's attitude about bringing in as many clubs as he can, as many quality clubs, and he thinks this is the best. Dorman, arguably the most talented team in the state under Jack Jolly, with all that they have got going on. Of course, we've been talking about Dorman since baseball season began, and here they are again. And there's Airport, a challenger for the 4A state championship. They know AC Flora very well. Lexington, a really good club. Indian Land, Hal Bagwell just picked up his 600th win coaching for Indian Land. And Trey Martin, let me make sure I get that name right, because Hal Bagwell rolled with his ace trying to get his 600th win, and now I know he's got 601 because they were able to pick up a sweep of Catawba Ridge. And it's Leo Mattern, right-hander. That's the ace for Indian Land. I bring that up because Hal Bagwell, you know, he's going for win number 600, and of course he rolls his big right-hander out there. And he throws all seven innings, limits Catawba Ridge to one run. So we want to always give love to the players as well. And I'm just excited about this Forest Acres Classic. And when Coach Hallett said, of course, Billy's going to be there. The Billy he's talking about is Billy Wagner, Hall of Famer from the Houston Astros, is going to be in the house because he is coaching the Miller School. So you've got all of these great coaches from inside the state of South Carolina, but also Billy Wagner bringing his club down. And you can see a real live Hall of Famer. Now, he won't be pitching, won't be throwing triple digits like he used to for the Astros, but he'll be coaching in the Forest Acres Classic. So, again, we always talk about this. If you're paying attention inside the state of South Carolina, Rob, you know, if you're willing to drive an hour, 2 hours, you can see some incredible athletic events.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And you just kind of quickly, as I have that schedule up there for those that are watching, if you're listening on podcast, I'll read it out for you. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. The first 3 days, you have matchups at 10, 1, 4, and 7. And then on Thursday, you have some championship games there at 10 and 1. So just a full week at the Forest Acres Classic and plenty of opportunities, as Coach Backwell said, the $10 day pass to get out there and watch a lot of quality high school baseball.
Absolutely. And I want to mention, if I can quickly, before we get to another thing we want to take care of today is, we'll tee this up in just a moment, but Polo Anderson, who was a star defensive back at Dorman High School, is getting attention from Dabo Swinney enough that he's talking about it. And we've got a video from Lou Bazejack as Dabo Swinney was talking about Polo Anderson. We'll do that in a second. But before I do, I do want to mention quickly, we haven't touched on the Low Country or Grand Strand, and they have got some teams cooking in baseball. I want to give the love to James Island, two-time defending state champions. Of course, we just had Matt Spivey joining us a couple of weeks ago. They got the four-quarter Friday rub because Matt Spivey hasn't lost since. They're 12-1 now. At James Island. They have got Taj Marchand, who was the 5A player of the year last year. They host West Ashley tonight as the Trojans look to stay undefeated in league play. And on the Grand Strand, big baseball story developing because North Myrtle Beach, one of the better teams in the state, just took it on the chin against Carolina Forest. Carolina Forest, 12-2, 7-1 in the Beach region. They swept North Myrtle Beach, two-game sweep, but listen to this, Rob. The back half of that, the second game of that sweep, 7-6, 13 innings. You play 7 innings in high school baseball. So this went to 6 innings of extras for Carolina Forest. Can you imagine the dog pile for them beating rival North Myrtle Beach? Carolina Forest now 7-1 in region play. And North Myrtle is 6-2, a game back. They've got one game left on the schedule. That's coming up at the end of this month.
When you think
that's
about,
incredible.
When you think about extra innings, you think about arms. And I just think about at the high school level, going 6 innings extra. Think about the arms. Who's coming off the field at another position to go to the mound at that point? I'm not sure.
We'll talk about that game as it gets closer because think about this. Carolina Forest, as I said, so they're 7-1 in the region. North Myrtle Beach has lost. They're 12-0 against everybody not named Carolina Forest. North Myrtle has not lost except for those two games this week. That's it. Mark your calendars. We will preview that game when it gets closer. I'm going to try to bring us some live coverage from that game. I love that. North Myrtle Beach, Carolina Forest. And the way and we're going to dig into this next week, the way the high school baseball playoffs are set up in South Carolina, if you don't win your region, that means you play an extra round and you're guaranteed to be on the road for the series in the second round. So this is big. This is big. If North Myrtle Beach, one of the best teams in the state, doesn't win that region and Carolina Forest does, that's a big feather in the cap of the Panthers. All right. Turning our attention quickly back to football because we're going to have Leon Boulware join us in a few minutes. I wanted to play at least some of this if you can, Rob. This is Dabo Swinney talking about freshman safety Polo Anderson out of Dorman, and the fact, and this video comes to us from Lou Bazejack at the state. This was out on his Twitter at Lou Bazejack. And just listen to Dabo Swinney talking about Polo Anderson. This is a guy who could make an impact at Clemson at the next level.
But catches your eye every day. I don't know if there's a day that went by that I didn't notice 11. He's long, he's athletic, he can really run. He's a tough kid, he cares. We got us a good one. He's a young player. He's not where Myrick or Jerome or Ronan are, you know, just from a, or KG, from a just knowledge standpoint. But he's a high school kid, you know, in his first semester of college. I mean, he's gonna get better and he's gonna learn. You know, Sammy Brown wasn't very good his first spring. I thought he was pretty average. He had a lot. I came out of the spring going, he got a lot to learn. Sammy, I'm like, hey, man, you don't learn what to do. You're just going to be a talented guy on the sideline. But by the time we got to the end of August, Sammy Brown was okay. He's going to be ready to help us. So I would say the same thing about Polo. I think if he does what he needs to do from just a slowing the game down standpoint, formation recognition, alignments, you know, calls, adjustments, you know, all that stuff that happens really, really fast at that position, he'll be able to help our team. But, I mean, certainly special teams and things like that. But he's flashed every single day.
How about that? Flashed every single day. That is Dabo Swinney talking about Polo Anderson.
And that's what players out of the state can do, Spinny. You know, there are players across the state who have the ability to go to the next level, and that's what we continue to highlight. And it is always cool to see when we can look at coaches, especially a coach like Dabo Swinney, who has won a couple of national championships and had so much success at that level, comment on a player right here from in-state who is jumping in and getting it done and getting it done quickly.
Absolutely. And look, that's Dabo Swinney talking about another defensive back coming out of our state, and we've churned out a lot of them. And very specifically, they've churned out a lot of them, Football City USA. So we've got Rock Hill head coach Leon Boulware joining us in our final segment, our fourth quarter. And Rock Hill knows a little something about DBs, specifically Rock Hill High School, Jonathan Hefney and Chris Hope and Coach Simpson. And Coach Simpson's actually on that staff under Leon Boulware, you were telling me, Rob.
Yep. Excited to talk to Coach Boulware here after this next break in our final segment. I really love, like I said before, the vision of where he's going to take that program, and I'm excited to hear what he has to say today.
All right, Leon Boulware, Rock Hill High School football coach, coming up next on Four Quarter Friday.
If your golf game needs a little help, McKellar Enterprises is one click away. Meredith Taylor, a former Gamecock golfer, fields clients from all across the country. Golfers of every level are enrolling in her well-rounded golf camps. They're improving their game through virtual and on-course lessons. And now, many are a part of the membership program that gives you multiple monthly coaching options to get better. Are you improving for fun? Don't want to hold the group back any longer? Visit McKellarEnterprises.org today and go Gamecocks.
I said, oh Lord Jesus, it's a fire. Ain't nobody got time for that.
Emergencies and accidents happen. When you're in the middle of a fire or water event, all you want is for things to return to normal as soon as possible. Resto Pros of the Midlands is with you. RestoProsMidlandsSC.com. Open 24/7 when you need them. Quality that is guaranteed.
Do your wood floors need a touch up? Visit RecoatRevolution.com in South Carolina today.
So, Mason, what do you focus on in the law?
My answer to that is I'm a personal injury lawyer. I'm your trusted resource for any problem that you may have.
Visit WestLawFirmSC.com.
From the Lowcountry to the Upstate, from the Midlands to the PD, we've got you covered. This is our state. South Carolina matters to us, all of South Carolina. We love talking ball, and we love talking ball with you. Thank you for tuning into the Four Quarter Friday High School Show. Every Friday at 9 a.m. on the Chief Sports Network. Proudly presented by the South Carolina Athletic Coaches Association.
Matt Smith and Rob Williams back with you on Four Quarter Friday. And we told you we were going to Football City USA. Leon Boulware is joining us now with the Rock Hill Bearcats. Coach, thank you so much for joining us here. And I've been reading all about what you've been doing up there in Rock Hill and instilling pride in that program. And we just saw Stephon Gilmore step away from the NFL. I know he's a South Point guy, but I mean, the list goes on and on of players that you've been around at Rock Hill produced, like Jonathan Hefney and Coach Simpson and Chris Hope. And we just want to hear all about it. You bringing that pride, that swagger back to the Bearcats logo.
Yes, sir, man. First off, I appreciate you guys for having me on this morning.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt, Coach. We're excited. Like Matt said, to kind of hear what it is that makes Rock Hill special. And you and I got a chance to talk earlier this week, and I know that you have a lot to say on that.
Yeah, you start thinking about the community, how important football is to everybody here. Our kids, it's not hard to really motivate them. It's bred into them, so they understand kind of expectations. They want to go out and perform their best. So it's really a lot of it is these guys are really pushing themselves, and it's our job just to make sure they're navigating in the right direction.
Well, Coach, tell us a little bit about your background. Listen, we know what you've done as a coach and all those victories that you have piled up. Tell us, again, give us the genesis, your origin story dating back to your playing days.
Well, it started here at Rock Hill. So I'm an alum of Rock Hill High School. So the tradition, the passion for being at Rock Hill is where you see a lot of my drive come from. And knowing that, hey, we want to make sure that Rock Hill is back in the forefront with all the top programs in the state of South Carolina. So we're really pushing that piece of making sure the kids understand the tradition and the expectations of being a Bearcat. Again, like we talked with Rob about this week, and we brought the diamond back this past season. And it's something about that traditional diamond that we first had on our helmets when we first started playing here. So the kids are starting to understand that you don't disrespect the diamond. You take care of it and you protect your brand. So it's one of the biggest things we talk about within our program when we're pushing. And I'm excited about what our kids are doing with it right now.
Yeah, you're right about that diamond. And when I was, when I was in school, now, Coach, I don't know exactly how old you are, but that's that Jim Ringer era. Yeah. Yes, and sir. Every game, I told Rob this earlier this week, every game was 13-7. It didn't matter who was playing, didn't matter what the weather was, what week it was, whether it was the playoffs, every game was 13-7. So tell us, about maybe that was probably a physical brand of football. So tell us, about that and then what you can do now, because football has changed. But what can you tell us about, what Rock Hill was doing in that era and how you kind of bring that same physicality now?
I mean, like you said, if you watched a Jim Ringer brand of football, you knew he was going to play solid defense and was going to run the football. And so those are some things that we still hang our hats on. When I got back here last year, we're going to have a really good defense, and we're going to be able to run the football. We wasn't as successful with that as this past season running the football. So we put a lot of emphasis on that this offseason with our running backs and our offensive line, just with that development piece. And our guys have really stepped up to the plate. The game, football is still football. Obviously, everybody wants to put the ball in the air. We will put the ball in the air. We got a young man, Johnny Young, who's a rising junior this year. We thought had a really good offseason. And so we're excited about what he does. We better put the ball in the air, but we got a stable of running backs as well that we can go run the football and do what we feel we're capable of doing. We feel like our defense it carried us a lot last year, and we returned 10 of 11 on defense, including some key pieces that actually are with us right now.
Coach, you talk about that defense, and I know you and I talked about some names of some guys that maybe that we should keep an eye on. One kind of at the top of the list of me is Caden Watkins, who maybe needs a little bit more attention in this state as you look at somebody who's going to be a playmaker for you in that back end. Can you talk a little bit about what he brings to the table and what you're looking for out of him this year?
Yeah, Caden's a big-time football player. There's not too many coaches that will say they don't know who Caden Watkins is. He's a special football player. He's more like a coach on the field when you start getting around him and talking X's and O's. He knows the game inside and out, and that's credit to, look at his bloodline. Jonathan Heffney is his uncle. Tony Watkins is his dad. You start talking about the bloodline, football is bred in him, so he understands it. Then you start talking about guys just playing right beside him. We have four guys with Division I offers in the secondary this year. Nigel Leitner, JoJo Brooks, and then you add Mo Barber and maybe another kid or two that we have that we won't mention the names right now, but those guys are going to make names for themselves. JoJo had a big year this past season. Nigel Leitner is a 6'2", 4'4", 40 safety. So we got a lot of guys in that secondary that can really make plays. But then when you start talking about working down to our linebacker court, a lot of people that they don't talk about and people that they need to be talking about is Caleb Wright. Caleb Wright was a tackling machine last year. Caleb had finished the season with 140-some tackles last year as a junior, and leads our defense and setting our guys up. So we're excited about what Caleb does because he orchestrates a lot of the stuff that we do on the defense side of football.
That is incredible, and I didn't realize that. So Caden Watkins, if you went to his family reunion and a pickup football game broke out, you need to just go the other way.
Yeah, you bring your Sharpie and your pen and some paper because you can get a lot of autographs while you're out there.
That is absolutely incredible. This is Coach Leon Boulware, head coach for Rock Hill High School. If you would do this for us, because I really liked what you were saying there, Coach, about, you know, you've got some defensive backs with Division I offers. Could you go over some of those again? Because I think it's important, and I know people feel this way up in the Rock Hill area. It doesn't stop when you leave high school, that you carry that through. So I know there's such pride in turning out college talent. If you could go over those guys one more time.
Yeah, I mean, JoJo, we call him JoJo's Mouse, JoJo Brooks, was currently carrying, I think, 7 Division I offers right now. Nigel Lightner, who's walking around with like 4 Division I offers. Then you, Mo Brown, and now you throw Zymire, Gordon Miles in the mix. Then we have some other guys, some younger guys that didn't play varsity football right now that had a really good March. So we're throwing their names in the hat. Like, so now we have a room for maybe 9 DBs that at any point can step on the football field for us. And then, of course, like I said, our linebacker core, Donovan Franklin, did a really good job for us last year with over 100 tackles. Then you talk about Caleb Wright. Again, you can't mention that kid's name enough just because of what he does on the football field. He's getting slighted a little bit because of his height, but he's a true football player. So those college coaches will wake up and really notice that this kid can truly play football. And then, of course, our defensive line is really doing a good job for us up front.
Coach, I want to ask a question about the community a little bit. And if we zoom out and we look at Rock Hill as a whole, obviously, yeah, 3 high schools there, an immense amount of talent. What is it about this area of the state that produces
Football City USA?
What is it that produces so much talent, and what does football mean in Football City USA?
I'm gonna start here. A week ago, we had flag football that just opened up for the spring, and you go out there and you see the community that's probably packed like a District 3 stadium would be on a Friday night with the youth kids out there starting flag football. That's how important it is. And then you got 3 high schools that's competing at a high level. I mean, Coach Wofford does a really good job at Northwestern, and Bobby Collins does a really good job over at South Point of making sure they orchestrate their programs the way they need to have them run it. So the product that we have, it starts at the youth level, man. The city of Rock Hill really buys into promoting the game of football. We have some really good youth coaches and travel ball coaches that really do a good job with our youth in terms of development. We have an O-line, D-line group that travels as well and competes, as well as a youth 707 that travels well and competes. So it doesn't just start at the high school. Those kids are doing it at the elementary school level. And we're fortunate enough to have the support from our community and the parents and the youth program and the city of Rock Hill. The city of Rock Hill really does a really good job of promoting football as well.
Yeah, Coach, I love hearing this. Stephon Gilmore, as I said, recently retired from the NFL, but he mentioned the Finley Road Falcons, the youth program there. And another thing that Rock Hill has been able to instill, which maybe you can talk to a little bit, because you came back. You'd gone off and had success, and then you came back. It seems also that there's always a tie there that people that come out of Rock Hill and are successful do not forget about Rock Hill. So that's another thing that I think that maybe that's this next generation. That's a tie there that can help lead them to success on the field under, you know, with you and the Bearcats.
100%. I was, like you said, I was gone on the way for a while, but my eyes never went away from Rock Hill. It was always something that, hey, I told guys that if I can get the job at Rock Hill, they would have to push me out the door. I'm at the place where I want to be. I'm at the place where I know I can give back and pour back into my community and into my the building. So not only just football, but I want to make sure that I'm pouring back into the city of Rock Hill and pouring back into the Rock Hill High School community. So that piece is very important to me. It's very important to our community and our kids that's here. So it really means a lot to say you come from Rock Hill. It ain't just, oh, we're just going to use, say, hey, I'm from Rock Hill, and we're going to use that as a stamp. No, it's something about it. And it's really hard to explain because I actually played for the Red Devils youth league when I was here growing up. And then went to play at Castle Heights Middle School. I can remember those days like it was yesterday. So it's something about just really being from Rock Hill and knowing that you know the community has your back when you put on that jersey.
Coach, when you look at social media and how you guys are doing out there, I want to give you a shout out because you guys are one of the best followers out there in terms of high school sports. And I know that you are working on a little schedule release, but when we look at the region, right, we've had some changes in the past year. What can you say about the matchups that you get in region and how that's a challenge all the way around?
Ben, I'll take a week off. I'll tell you that. We told our kids that when the region was released, you can't take a week off, and it reminds me of the old region we used to play in. We traveled down 85, and you knew it was a champion coming out of that region every year. Credit to Dorman. Dorman's doing a really good job. Bowling Springs, Matt Real over there. I worked with Matt for a while, and Matt does a great job. Of course, you got Fort Mill, who had probably one of the best seasons in a while last year. Then you talk about Northwestern, and then Spartanburg is always in the mix with anything they do when it comes to athletics. So it won't be a down week. I think our region is probably one of the best regions in 5A football.
Smitty, have you heard anything more challenging than that? I mean, just take a look at that. At the teams in that region, it's ridiculous.
No, it absolutely is. But I know the Bearcats won't back down. But I was going to say, I mentioned Jim Ringer. Coach, that was the era I was growing up in, the old Big 16 era. And Region 2 4A was like Spartanburg County, Gaffney, and then the Rock Hill schools. Yep. And I don't know if that was fair to the rest of the world because it was like those guys were all beat up. I mean, they managed to hang in there for 15 or 16 games and win a state championship.
I remember my senior year, I think Gaffney was number one in the state that year. We went to the old reservation and beat them at the old reservation. And then the second round of playoffs, we lost to Dorman. And we was like, we won the region that year. We knew we was on quest to go win another state championship. And then, of course, another team in the region came and beat us in the playoffs. Again, it was one of the best regions that you could play in.
Well, I know you're going to take all that. Coach, we've got to wrap things up. If you would, wrap your mind and help us what you've got coming up this year. What does your team need to improve on? Because I think the attitude's going to be there. The swagger's going to be there. You said you've got the physicality on defense. So where do you need to take that next step to get Rock Hill where you want it to be?
We have to go win a big game. We have to develop this offseason as we've been doing in the weight room. That was the biggest piece for us. But we got to go win a big game. It's enough talking. There's enough social media presence. You can't win football games on social media. We have to step up and go win the big football games. When you plan week to week, I mean, we have a schedule of 10 games, and we have every opportunity within those 10 games to step up and win a big game.
Coach, that's beautiful. And please, somebody put that in a locker room somewhere. You can't win games on social media. Coach, we're going to see you this year. Anytime you go to District 3 Stadium, you're going to see two good football teams on the field at the same time. So we're looking forward to it, and we'll certainly see you this fall.
Yes, sir. I appreciate it. And again, I appreciate you guys for having me on.
Thanks, Coach.
Thank you. Oh, man, that gets me – I know I keep saying this every time we have an interview with a coach, but, man, I'm getting hyped up. And it's not just about football, but it's about that pride. It's about, as he was talking about, Football City USA.
It's amazing, Smitty, to listen to somebody who is in it, right? Somebody who went to the school, has come back home, and is in a community that embraces and loves this sport. This is a state that loves the sport of football. But you see these pockets from single A all the way through 5A of schools and communities, and Rock Hill really embodies that. And I just love that conversation and love what happens in that community, especially when it comes to football, from 5-year-old flag all the way through the high school level and beyond, as you see those players go on to do so many great things.
As a matter of fact, yeah, you have a graphic. If we've got time for it, you could put that up of Stephon Gilmore, who has stepped down Is retired from the – look at that, man, in the Shrine Bowl practice. And so my history with that – so Stephon Gilmore was all-state quarterback there at South Point.
Look on how that big team, is here.
Yeah, I know, and he got really muscular. That neck got huge as he was lifting weights and getting bigger. But so on that club, 15-0 South Point, Jadeveon Clowney, Devontae Holloman, Stephon Gilmore. Gilmore was there at quarterback. What a star he was. And because that team was so stacked, Devontae Holloman had to go play in the North-South game because Clowney and Gilmore took the Shrine Bowl spots. So an NFL player, Devontae Holloman, couldn't get on the Shrine Bowl.
Incredible. And
that's Football City USA.
That's exactly what I was about to say. That's football around here, right? And that's football, excuse me, in Rock Hill. Just incredible level of talent. You see, anytime you see somebody come out of any of those three schools, you know they're going to be special. And what a, and just an incredible breakdown of the roster from Coach Boulware. But back to Caden Watkins one more time, who has a ton of offers, by the way, a ton of Power Four offers, and probably, like he said, needs a little bit more attention. But that bloodline, Tony Watkins' kid, is enough, right? You know what he's bringing to the table.
Oh, I didn't realize Jonathan Heffney was the uncle and Tony Watkins is Caden Watkins' father. Keep your eye on that kid. And then, of course, Leon Boulware told us about Caleb Wright. So it's going to be exciting to see Rock Hill and, again, that whole area, high school football across the state. Now, Walt Wilson will not be a part of it. Walt Wilson has stepped down as Richland Northeast football coach. We will bring you more information as we get it. As a matter of fact, the best thing to do is stay tuned to us on X at Four Quarter SC. I also want to mention before we roll out of here and turn you over, former Blythewood star Alex Myers, baseball player, now playing at Wofford, picked up his first collegiate hit this week when he singled the center against the Gamecocks on Tuesday. So I don't want to let this show go without bringing that up. That's really cool. Playing, you know, from Blythewood, goes to Wofford, and he gets to play South Carolina and then gets a single to center in his first at bat against South Carolina. That was pretty cool. Also want to mention that Westwood boys basketball coach Trent Robinson, who we had on this show about 3 weeks ago, after winning a state championship, he has been named the South Carolina Athletic Coaches Association Boys Basketball Coach of the Year. And also we mentioned earlier how Bagwell picked up his 600th win. We'll talk more about that next week as well, because Rob, I'll see you at the Forest Acres Classic.
You got it. And I'll remind everybody to make sure, if you're watching us on YouTube or if you're not, to make sure you subscribe to that Four Quarter Friday channel on YouTube. That will help us bring you more free content each and every week, and Smitty, not just on Fridays, but throughout the week as we continue to expand our coverage.
Absolutely. This is the Chief Sports Network. Stay tuned to this channel wherever you are, whether it's the app, YouTube, streaming, whatever. Stay tuned, because Inside the Gamecocks with Jamie Bradford is coming up next. Rob and I will both be back with you next Friday, 9 a.m., bringing you more coverage, more guests. Corey Welch, Diamond Prospects, joins us next week on Four Quarter Friday.